of one, and it's certainly something to look forward to. If you have anything to contribute tonight, I don't know what's up to you. 212-209-2950. But if you do contribute, we're offering his book, Searching for the Center.
And from there, you take your best next step, one after another.
Psychological warfare tactics. When we criticize this, the media comes out and runs headlines like this one. Rumors fly a military draft, and then the Star Tribune went on to call it a conspiracy theory. So I guess it's kind of like Patriot Act 2, where they introduce the bill, and then it doesn't exist if you give the bill number out. But Mike Blair joins us from American Free Press, AmericanFreePress.net, the website. Mike, good to have you on with us.
Good to be with you, Alex.
We're dealing with massive denial here. We just got a few minutes before we break, but in a nutshell, your article spells it out and raises the specter of massive riots against us.
Yes, I think we can look back to what happened during the Vietnam period when there was more massive riots, demonstrations throughout the country, particularly on college campuses, in protest of the war, which is, and the similar protests are rising every day against the war in Iraq. And if they institute a draft where young men, and to be politically correct, women, are drafted between the ages of 18 and 26, there's going to be a major problem. There's no way else is looking at it. I think what's going to be an indicator of this is the demonstrations we're going to see, and perhaps violent demonstrations we're going to see at the Republican convention in New York City.
Now, in the past, we've also seen the government hire provocateurs. Bill Clinton did it. We've caught Bush's people doing it.
And you don't whimper and whine about it. Or if you do, try not to do it too long.
You can cut the weeds before they start to burn. If you leave them to grow high, they'll silence your voice. And in December, you may pay with your blood. So close your eyes, stop your ears, close your mouth, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know. Every day another vulture takes flight. There's another danger born every morning. In the darkness of your blindness, the beast will learn to bite. How can you fight if you can't recognize a warning? So close your eyes, stop your ears, take it slow. Let others take the lead and you bring up the rear. And later you can say you didn't know.
And we will call it the ground paradox of your unconscious. there are four pillars of truth that contain or hold, or that are, the paradox, the grand paradox of your unconscious. The first pillar of truth. The more unconscious you are, the less likely that you will ever find your unconscious. And the less likely that engagement will be anything other than confrontation, if at all. And the less likely that you will ever harness, access, or awaken. And find the greater reward, the greater magic, the greater change, or the richer success. Unconscious you are, the less likely you'll find it, the less likely you'll be able to do what you seek to engage, to harness, to access, to awaken. That's one pillar of truth. The second pillar. The more conscious you are, the more awake, the more present. The more conscious you are, the more likely you will find your unconscious mind. And the more likely you will be able to encounter it, or to engage it by encounter. Harness its power, access its secrets, awaken its mystery. The more conscious you are, the more conscious you are becoming, the more awake, the more explorative, the more achieving, the more giving, receiving, being, the more committed, the more visionary, the more filled with wonder, the more awake you are, the more conscious you are, the more likely you will find it, and the more likely you will be able to engage, harness, access, and awaken.
Misinformed poll workers, malfunctioning voting machines, mysterious clerical errors, and...
Prologue. Louvre Museum, Paris, 10:46 p.m. Renowned curator Jacques Saunière staggered through the vaulted archway of the museum's grand gallery. He lunged for the nearest painting he could see, a Caravaggio. Grabbing the gilded frame, the 73-year-old man heaved the masterpiece toward himself until it tore from the wall and Saunière collapsed backward in a heap beneath the canvas. As he anticipated, a thundering iron gate fell nearby, barricading the entrance to the suite. The parquet floor shook. Far off, an alarm began to ring.
To create and heighten the illusion of reality. When Lillian Gish called D.W. Griffith the father of film, she used the same analogy. She said, he gave us the grammar of filmmaking. He understood the psychic strength of the lens. Half a century later, Stanley Kubrick may have had Griffith in mind when he remarked that what is truly original in the art of filmmaking, what distinguishes it from all the other arts, may be the editing process. Watch how Griffith developed, 2 years before The Birth of a Nation, the technique of cross-cutting. He shows you two events happening at the same time and intercuts them to increase the tension of the suspense. Now, at that time, Griffith had to fight his distributors, who feared that audiences would be confused by this innovation. was in the great epics of the silent era that the illusionists learned to use special effects and visual wizardry to conjure up some of their most compelling visions.
Now, Life on the Edge in L.A. Peter Bergman and Philip Proctor star in Power.
Hello, Valdez Ladome. Oh, hello, Mr. Trump. What will it be? 8 at 6? Oh, 6 at 8. Let me check. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump. We're booked through Christmas. How about next year? Oh, no, Don, the restaurant is not for sale. Ciao.
Hello, Jocelyn.
JoJo.
Oh. Mr. Power, Mr. Scott. Right this way, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Lucy.
Remember, hey, $60 million over budget?
Yeah,
somebody's
yeah.
dying harder.
Hey, Dustin, get your head out of the soup. This isn't a movie,
Marlon.
Buddy.
Oh, how
Marlon.
Are you?
Oh, hi. Gosh, say, Marlon, you need anything, just call my machine.
Good luck.
Right.
Thanks, JoJo. So, Polly, how are things at the agency?
Excellent, Joe. I just packaged Nicholson and Willis in their first feature
talking
together.
Talking to this brilliant English driver who's won so many races in the dark green BRM. Even faster than Stoddard in practice was the Frenchman, Jean-Pierre Sarti, twice world champion and an absolute master of these twisting Monte Carlo streets. He's won the Grand Prix here 3 times. He drives for the great Italian manufacturer, Ferrari.
Second pillar of truth, not a paradox yet. Both are true, and they do cooperate with one another. Third pillar of truth. The more you hold on to being conscious, even though you will find your unconscious and be able to engage, harness, access, and awaken. The more you hold on to being conscious, the less likely you will be able to succeed. Even though you'll be able to do it, the less likely you'll be find success. You are conscious and you can engage your unconscious. But if you hold on to being conscious too tightly, too solidly, too rigidly, too firmly, such engagement will not lead to greater reward. You can harness and harness and harness the power all you want. You can do technique perfectly and you can do it unendingly. But if you hold on too tightly to being conscious, to your conscious self, your self, I, ego, I, your conscious self, the less likely that harnessing will produce, the greater magic will produce success. And likewise, with whatever access you can access and reach great depths and come upon unbelievable energies and forces that are locked and lodged there in those depths. And it can be an incredible, fantastic, but it's not going to change your destiny. It's not going to change you. You will miss or are likely of miss or at risk of missing the greater change. And likewise with the awakening. Third pillar of truth. The more rigidly you hold on to being conscious, the returns, the benefit, the bounty diminishes. Though you can find and engage, harness, access, and awaken, you will not succeed with such activity.
Where'd you get this?
Where'd I get what? What are you doing?
Where'd you get it?
He stole it from a synagogue.
If you go to a factory floor, there are not people who are screwing in bolts. There are people who are either who are wearing working in clean rooms, or you're people who are manipulating robots and punching things on computer screens. It's a very different set of abilities.
Can you read it?
Look, it put something on it, right? You're not supposed to be naked in front of it.
Why not?
Because they think it's the word of God and it's holy and the flesh isn't.
That's stupid.
Yes, it's stupid. Put something on.
Mummies during the Ptolemaic period, and about animal mummies in general, because they're usually misunderstood. Let me first tell you why Egyptians and the Ptolemies mummified animals. There are really four reasons, four very different reasons why animals were mummified. I mean, all animal mummies are not the same.
Teammate is the young Sicilian Nino Barlini, who's also won a place on the front row. Barlini is the former world champion motorcyclist who made a very successful switch to car racing last year and is certainly a potential world champion in Formula One racing.
You see, the Jews love to separate things. Holy from the profane, the meat from the milk, wool from the linen, Sabbath from the week. Jew from the Gentile is as if one little scrap of this is going to completely contaminate that.
Who gets contaminated? The Jews or the Gentiles?
That's a good question.
How come there's no punctuation?
Yeah, it was a later invention, and, you know, Jews don't really need it because they know the whole thing by heart. It's just like every word and every letter.
Do you know it like that? By heart?
No.
But you can read it, right?
People in the back are going, Jesus, God, that's the sickest, most disgusting joke I've ever heard on stage. Wrong!
Welcome to Video Aided Instructions Review for Firefighter Exam. 150 years ago, most firefighters in the United States were volunteers. A young man who wanted to provide some public service and who would enjoy the camaraderie of a firehouse and the occasional excitement of a fire would go down to the local fire company, introduce himself, and become a member.
The Hebrew.
What do you care?
Because I want to know. What's this word?
Don't touch it. That's Vayomer. And he said.
What did he say?
Vayomer Adonai Avram. Lech lecha me'artcha. Umimoledcha, umibet avicha, alaharas asher arecha.
What does it mean?
And God said to Avram, take yourself away from your land, away from the place you were born, away from your father's house, and go to a new land, a place that I will show you.
I want you to teach it to me.
Why?
Know your enemy. Because it's a basic text of Western culture, and I want to read it in the original, okay?
Fast
fascinated with the way over the last couple years this kind of
Hello, Tina, please, darling.
Okay.
Her father.
Okay, hold on a minute, okay?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
What are you doing?
Who is this?
I got a bad cold, honey.
Who is it?
I got a bad cold. It's your father.
Who is calling?
Odd headphones thing. In New York, at least, so many people were walking around with headphones.
People in the back are going, Jesus, God, it's the sickest, most disgusting joke I've ever heard on stage. Wrong! I can top it.
Wow, what's it about?
Well, it's a back-end deal. I won't know till the picture's finished.
How's the family?
It's going into turnaround. And Astrid wants custody of the child.
Astrid wants Solly?
No, George. Solly's out of Margot, my second wife.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Astrid wants custody of my inner child. The child within.
They're your enemy.
Like you'll see a car where somebody's on their cell phone, and then the car bumps into somebody who's just...
Because it's a basic text of Western culture.
The fourth pillar of truth in this paradox. You must be willing and able to let go of your conscious self, to release the self-I, ego-I, to move beyond being conscious. In order to reap the bounty of finding your unconscious,
the street with their headphones on and didn't notice the car. I think they're trying to actually make more. You're going to see over the next couple of years, is, whether it's satellite radio, that's, you know, like Howard Stern's taking his whole radio show because of, he's been getting hassled by the FCC.
Shows on satellite radio, a lot of them are going up there now.
Yeah. But between that and the way people are even making iPod broadcasts and wireless networks available, like Philadelphia is now going to be one of the first cities to have a whole wireless network.
Intimidation and misdirection. What follows is a montage of some of their testimonies.
At least 30 voters, after voting, came over to our stand and complained to us that they felt harassed by poll workers who kept yelling, "You only get 5 minutes to vote." In 4 different cases, I personally took people back into the polling place because they came out after waiting 2 to 3 hours and reported to us that they were not permitted to vote.
When I arrived in Reynoldsburg, Ohio, to vote recently, I was told immediately, I mean, everyone else is walking in and out, no ID, but I was told immediately that I was on a predetermined list, that I was to be challenged. I was asked for my ID, and upon showing the lady my ID, she said, "Well, I'm sorry, you won't be able to vote today." She then asked me if I had a utility bill, and the only thing I had was my driver's license, and I had printed off a copy of my voter's registration from the Franklin County Board of Elections, which I have here. I showed her my voter's registration. She said, "No, that wasn't good enough. I needed a utility bill." I left it.
Whole city. So you won't deal with radio almost, if you think about it at all. You just get check into...
I can tell it because I feel sorry for lepers.
I do. I feel sorry for lepers because lepers never know when this is going to happen. They never know. Lepers never know when that special moment's going to take place. That's why you don't see them out dancing around and shit. They're never in fights. They walk real carefully. You know? These guys don't ride the bus. They're afraid to hit railroad tracks. You know? Oh, shit. Oh, God. My dick. They never make love. They don't even joke about it. What are they going to do? Be with a woman? Be inside some woman they care about? Going, oh, shit. Excuse me. Excuse me. I should have told you I was a leper before we made love here. God, I'm embarrassed. I had no idea. That's all right. I'll get it. Yeah, it's my fault. I'll get it. Oh, shit. Oh, God damn it. Oh.
Wireless hub anywhere, mm-hmm. And that.
And I want to read it in the original.
First, animals were sometimes placed in tombs as food for the deceased. That's one reason. Also, sometimes pets were mummified. You know, you could take Fido to the next world with you. So that's a completely different reason from the first one. Now, a third reason was animals were sacrificed to the gods and were mummified as offerings. That's another reason for animal mummification. And the fourth, and the rarest, and probably the most interesting,
influence everything from how people transform files and send files back and forth to how they watch TV, because obviously you can just get.
Okay.
Listen, it's extremely difficult. It'll take you years to learn it.
I'm good at languages.
Oh, great. You can get that piece of paper and that pen over there. Olive.
Looks like a little swastika.
It's silent, and it takes a vowel. There aren't any vowels. They're just like little dots that go underneath the letters. I get your chumash. Bet.
Bet.
Gemel.
Gemel.
Dalid.
Dalid.
Hey.
Hey.
How come you're here? You're not with Curtis. And don't say it's because of the free Hebrew lesson.
Sex is better.
Even though he's got such a big dick.
Yeah, well, with you, there's a tragic dimension.
The signal from, you know, whatever server, instead of turning onto old, you know, networks. It's very 21st century, that's all I can say.
Is it?
Explain, what were you actually doing there? What was your job as an American?
Well, we were there.
You can have a second tank for Greasel. That's what the letters GR, Greasel. And if you look it up on the internet, a lot of people call it their veggie car. You can go around to McDonald's, Burger King, all these places. They have to spend money to get rid of their secondhand grease. What you do is you pick it up for free. They're glad to get rid of it for free. And then you heat it up and strain it out. And the first 5 minutes, you're going to drive on the diesel while heating up the greasel. Then you switch over. When you're
metaphysics coming in the back way, creaking around just for variety. There's no philosophy required in that sector block between the rotor cavity area or the under stairwell blueprint apportioned quadrant or anything. Some American time, you know.
Writing is DJing, and that's all a part of either creating or studying or reading or listening to your own.
Gary Geiserman in line in transport. Allowed to be here.
On the second row is Pete Aaron, the American, now driving for BRM. Pete hasn't won a Grand Prix since he left Ferrari 3 seasons ago.
He's doing the thing here in current time. Time we all share together. Our spatial mind with the media implants in it. Gotta disavoid most of those implants, however. Get around. Get the limbic-to-limbic connection going there in between too numerous to numinously mention. If you have language primers with you.
Questions should be open-ended enough to encourage a response, but not invasive.
So as the Fire Sign Theater said once a many disc ago, and Einstein proved unofficially, and just remember it. See, if I were to actually tell you what it was, it wouldn't be nearly as good. Instead, I'd be doing all the heavy lifting myself. Since this is Lazy Man Radio, I shan't be doing that, even in America time.
1200 BC.
Which is right around anything these days until the Chinese take over. And the Dutch finance them, of course, coming in the side pocket there. Oh, the stories men weave as they watch daytime TV. Metaphysics.com, of course, and Mountain Stream over there, and Shoutcast, and I don't know, Winamp Radio, and checked in here and there, and if the podcasting bullshit isn't too much of a bullshit, I may jack a couple of shows into that unneeded, actually misguided kind of thing. All we really need is websites and Unterweb presences, which I'm coining right now, you know, for part of the old push-pull of the dreamed-about but forlorn business model of the Internet back a couple of 100,000 years ago. Just a way to list and find audio on the ceiling web. The Internet, without having to add any extraneous PC-style, Windows-style extraneities like RSS headers and whatnot. And we just need to find the friggers, for Christ's sakes.
Hey, where's your conditioner, Mom?
We don't need to propagate more semen into the tube.
In spite of two bad accidents last year, he's still just as fast as ever.
Someone else's narrative. Does it fit? Is that something?
Expensive when you walk out the door.
American culture is, on the whole, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, you gotta remember, all right, I did 2 degrees, one in philosophy, the other in French literature.
Interested in itself.
Yes, I mean, American culture, in a certain sense, is interesting to self.
Where I might get the over-intellectualized.
The most characteristic thing about Americans is they always have their eyes on each other and themselves.
Is our table stakes, but it's not enough. That's why you have a premium now on design.
Copy of Dolly the Sheep.
Against you, Dan Pink, you write, and you're provocative right throughout this. You say the keys to the kingdom are changing hands. The future belongs to a very different kind of person with very different kind of mind, to creators and empathizers, pattern recognizers and meaning makers. These people, artists, inventors, designers, storytellers, caregivers, consolers, big picture thinkers, will now reap society's richest rewards, and you're building it all around this left brain, right brain metaphor. I don't know if everyone's really up to speed on what you mean by left brain, right brain. What does this stand for?
Yesterday he left only a tenth slower than Scott Stoddard, number one driver of the BRM team.
Let's try and get the season off to a good start, shall we? Drive the car! Don't try to stand it on his bloody ear!
They should show everyone the way home.
Well, our brains are divided into two halves. There's the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. And obviously, we need both sides of our brains to do anything. But there are differences, functional differences, between the left hemisphere and the right hemisphere. And in the book, I actually start out the book by going into an MRI machine and doing a bunch of exercises to learn how my own brain works.
Right.
And I think that the structure of our brains offers a very powerful metaphor for understanding the contours of our time. The left side of the brain is logical, linear, sequential, deductive. The right side of the brain is holistic,
artistic, empathic, simultaneous, big picture, synthetic rather than analytical.
As you mentioned, it's part of the State Department contract to work with the African Union, both as a monitor, to monitor the ceasefire, and also as an advisory role to the African Union to help them deal with any type of operational patrol.
Now, Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
Thank you. We're on our way to it right now.
I have Coach Vernon Dozier with us. As you know, in the news, I want to be very clear. We're not prejudging you.
I appreciate that.
And Mr. Dozier is a head football coach at Belmar Academy. It's a high school, as well as a teacher there, mathematics. What else, sir?
I teach social studies, and we also teach science and health class.
All right. The controversy has to do with a parent at the school, her daughter, and your relationship with her, which I understand you have said to the board is not physical. There's nothing sexual.
Well, I think the implication when you say you are having a relationship with a young lady, immediately the people, because of the minds that people have these days, they immediately go to the sex. They immediately go to the what they think is molestation, because that's the kind of that's the kind of filth, I guess, that people.
Yeah, just when you think the joke can't get any fucking worse. Just when you're thinking, yeah, this has got to be it. He can't get any more vulgar than this. Wait, we found another rock lair. Let's dig a little deeper. Yes, that's what I do, folks. It's part of my job. This guy gave me a story out in Los Angeles. He goes, Sam, this is the sickest, the darkest, most horrifying story I've ever read, and it's true. It's a story about homosexual necrophiliacs that were in the Los Angeles area. This is true, man. I couldn't make this up. It's too sick. I swear to God, you wouldn't think of this shit. Somebody had to actually do it for it to fucking happen. Oh, man. These guys were going around to mortuaries and morgues, offering money to be able to come in, be left alone, undisturbed.
That provides us a very convenient metaphor for describing the sorts of abilities it's going to take to get ahead. And the sorts of abilities that are characteristic of the left hemisphere are still absolutely necessary. There's no question about that. But they're no longer sufficient. And that the point of differentiation between people who make it and people who don't is going to be mastery of these more right hemisphere type skills.
You quote Coleridge saying, the truth is, a great mind must be androgynous. And I guess you're saying left and right going on here, and I've heard you describe in this hour that the scale's tipping toward the right brain style of thinking. Speak to us in career terms.
I'm engaging, harnessing, accessing, awakening. You must be beyond conscious. You must be unconscious to reap the bounty of greater reward, greater magic, greater change, and richer success and fulfillment. But if you are unconscious, you will never find your unconscious. And you must be unconscious to find it.
Self-examination is at the heart of the whole thing.
Well, I can't imagine, for instance, Mark Twain spending as much time thinking about himself as, Faulkner was forced to do. given the dominance of the critics, which is a 20th century phenomenon, isn't it?
Not really. I mean, the critics have mounted in power, and for a little while in the first half of the 20th century, sort of took the stage away from novelists and poets. But Mark Twain worried a lot about the critics, and he worried a lot about himself, and he worried about who he was in typical American fashion, and he was always assuring people that he was not a funny fellow. And, everybody laughed when he said it. And then he went home and he worried about it. But I think one of the most reflexive, self-examining writers of all was Mark Twain. Finally, at the end of his life, he was so boxed into his own obsessed, possessed head that all he could do was go round and round in the prison of himself.
About a week after I was on your show, I was sitting around my apartment doing what most guys do on a Saturday night.
Thought in my head. My bald head. Maybe if I were happier, my hair wouldn't be falling out. Life is short. I need to make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. I was searching for my own name on the internet. And I came across this news group dedicated to your show. It's like Alt.ConanO'Brien or something.
Right, right.
And there's a woman who does like a week in review thing, and she gives like little awards to the guests. And I found the week that I was on, and this is what she wrote.
Okay. This isn't a dream. This is real.
This is not a dream.
Okay.
This is reality.
This is the night of guests reading things. Okay, here we go.
Best guest of the week, Chris O'Donnell. Not just for the way he filled out those blue jeans, but also for his charming personality. Worst guest of the week, Todd Barrett. No charm, no humor, no wit, and a personality which can only be described as icky. So I'm reading this on the computer, and it's like, first of all, once you praise a guy for filling out his blue jeans, I think you lose the right to accuse someone else of being icky. Yeah. And second of all, I don't wear blue jeans on your show out of respect, but I look pretty good in a pair of blue jeans, and I actually brought a picture.
Can we see the picture? Yeah. I want to see this. I just want to...
We've understood career profiles in the last couple of decades. Are you literally saying you think engineers, computer programmers, lawyers, I'm not sure why, MBAs are losers in this new economy? Why?
I think some of them are. I don't think they all are. I think what really matters more than the particular profession is the set of abilities that are going to enable somebody to get ahead. And I think at the core of all of this are three fundamental questions, and they go to these three forces we were talking about before the break. You have to talk about, you have to look at what you're doing in terms of career advice. You have to look at what you're doing and ask yourself three key questions. First, can someone overseas do it cheaper? And for a lot of computer programmers, for a lot of accountants, there's a lot of accounting being done in India and in the Philippines. For a lot of financial analysis, that answer is yes. And if the answer is yes, you need to think about what you're doing. Second question is, can a computer or software do it faster?
This is the automation piece.
Automation for certain kinds of professions, certain kinds of professions that are more or less, and here's the key, here's one of the key words here, routine. Work that involves simply more or less following a script, following a recipe, following a formula, certain kinds of accounting, certain kinds of financial analysis, and yes, certain kinds of law. You can go, computers can do that better and faster. And the web has liberated the sort, all kinds of information that used to be the source of the monopoly for certain kinds.
Typical fate of American writers,
Which had what effect on his later work?
Well, it had the effect of cutting him off from his original audience without finding him a new one. And his last work was very private work indeed, in which he tried to write a new idiom which would take him back to a popular audience, but actually was reaching out for a popular audience which didn't yet exist. He ended up writing science fiction. And it's only now that his science fiction stories are being read, relished, and enjoyed. I myself have just put together an anthology of...
This, the grand paradox. You know, you begin as an infant. And becoming is a function of consciousness, not your consciousness, but a function of consciousness that flows into your illusion. Patterned by the matrix, both light and dark matrix, patterned by the framework. Beliefs, love, trust, and imagination, even in that earliest age. Often formed by parental influences, by unconscious patterning, by subconscious entraining prior and before the life began.
Including law, we can talk about that. I will reveal to your listeners, Tom, that a long time ago, in a moment
galaxy
of youthful
far, far away.
Yeah, a long time ago, in a moment of youthful indiscretion, I actually went to law school. Mm-hmm. So I can talk about why that was a bad idea. And the third factor, which I think is perhaps the most important factor, Asia, automation, and abundance. We live in a spectacularly wealthy society, deep into the middle class. Deep into the middle class. And that has, I think, changed the stakes for business and for individuals.
However, firefighting has become a much more technological profession. Firefighting these days involves a considerable knowledge of firefighting technology, hazardous materials, and all sorts of matters which weren't even imagined 150 years ago.
Tim Randolph, another American, driving a Japanese Yamura, is also on the second row. This team's only been in Formula One racing for 2 years, and so far, the car's not been reliable enough to win a Grand Prix.
Superstar, it's Barney, Super Agent. I just want to remind you, it's been 13 weeks, and Valerie's anxious to see a draft. So if you could wrap things up, get it to her by Monday, that'd be great. Call me when you get this. Adios, amigos.
Creating their own careers. You go, I mean, stakes for business and for individuals navigating their own careers. You go, I mean, I used to be a political speechwriter too, and among the things that I did as a political speechwriter was traffic in startling factoids. And there are all kinds of startling factoids about how abundant American life is today. Example, let's take cars. It used to be the American dream that everybody could have a car. Well, today, there are more
First cars
business in America
good,
than
Johnny?
License to driver.
Everything's good, Uncle Jim. This last year has been a dream. I'm telling you. Finally pulling out of debt.
Amen, honey. I'm so proud of you, too.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite startling factoids. I don't know how many of your listeners, or you, Tom, you don't have to reveal this, have something in self-storage. Okay, self-storage is a business devoted entirely to housing our excess stuff.
Acres and acres of little garage door storage bins.
It's a
new metaphysics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards.
With 19 minutes left on Earth, Eddie sat for the last time in an old aluminum beach chair, his short, muscled arms folded like a seal's flippers across his chest. His legs were red from the sun, and his left knee still showed scars. In truth, much of Eddie's body suggested a survived encounter. His fingers were bent at awkward angles, thanks to numerous fractures from assorted machinery.
Piece of glass I take out is mine. The house is mine. I walk up these stairs. I pass the children's toys. Children mean nothing to me. They were put here to help me. I move to the door. I step into the room. I see you there. And I see me desired by you. Accepted. And loved. In the silver mirrors of your eyes.
Science fiction, and one of the key items in it is a piece from a long science fiction novel which Mark Twain never managed to complete about the life of a microbe, a cholera microbe.
Which remains unpublished.
It's been published now, but only within the past few years, because there was no audience yet for that sort of thing.
Come here to California because, you know, I'm a little kooky, as you may have heard, and this is Mecca. Well, I mean, like, for instance, the town is mostly divided. Well, it's mostly the British have taken the town over, you know. There are more British here than in Hong Kong or in London. Why do I mention Hong Kong? So in London. And the British colony here is divided into two groups. British actors and Jaguar mechanics.
As a result, the process of becoming a firefighter has become much more professional. These days, a person can no longer simply walk down to the fire station, introduce himself, and become a firefighter. Medium and large cities almost always have paid professional firefighters.
It is a $17 billion a year industry.
I'm trying to help you, but you won't help yourself.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
Fat, bald.
Protagonist without desire. It doesn't make any sense. Any fucking sense.
The world, bounded, very small world of the infant. Bounded by the ceiling of beliefs and the floor of love, by the wall of imagination and trust. And because infant's so small, you can't exist in a very tiny, tiny world.
The Japanese have the most powerful engines of all.
Dégagez! Dégagez la zone de départ!
Thank you.
self-storage exceed motion picture receipts.
Was sometimes an animal was viewed as a god.
So long as you don't take what would be interpreted as a hostile action, you should be safe.
Why is self-storage and abundance going to have computer programmers and engineers down on their luck in this century? And
here's the thing,
you know, touchy-feely types on top.
If you want to sell something in this kind of marketplace, getting it to work
these days, when they're going to hire firefighters, they ordinarily place ads in newspapers, put some ads on the radio, and in various other ways let people know that they're going to be hired. You can find out whether there's going to be hiring soon in your city by inquiring of your local fire department.
Be functional is our cable stick, but it's not enough. That's why you have a premium now on design. So you can go into Target and get a designer toilet brush. You can go into Alessi and get a designer fly swatter. You can go back into Target and get a designer garbage can. Even the most utilitarian, mundane objects are being transformed into objects of desire.
But just stuff alone is not enough. It has to have an allure. It has to have that kind of an
emotional appeal, an aesthetic appeal, a spiritual appeal. And we can make fun of that. And actually, I think some of the making fun of that is justified. But if you look at it this way, if you go and buy a toilet brush, it's going to represent 0.00000001% of your lifetime income. So why shouldn't it be cool? Why shouldn't it give you some moment of aesthetic pleasure?
Well, we see retailers succeeding.
That's new.
Yeah. George, that's why I want you to represent.
Well, actually, Paul, we've been so busy at the firm, I don't have time to practice law.
George.
Target building an enormous
Target, right.
business just around
right.
design.
And Virginia Pastrell has a wonderful book called The Substance of Style that makes the case that all businesses have to abide by what she calls the aesthetic imperative. But there's another aspect of abundance that I think is extremely, extremely important.
Bobby and I worked great together. Marta Kristen turned me on to Bob Dylan, something I'll always thank her for. I fell madly in love with Angela Cartwright. That was a great thing. June has kept our little group together over the years by calling everyone and making sure we get together for a lunch here and there. She's a great rock and roll, wonderful woman.
Not have this band. Not the goddamn House of David, fucking baseball team, Woody Rich Band, young people with faces. No more fucking beards. Out. If you decide to do it, you're through. Right now. This is the last time I make this announcement. No more fucking beards. I don't want to see it. If you got it, you're going to shave it off. I'll treat you just like they treat you in the fucking Marine Corps. This is the way I want my man to look. If you don't like it, get out. You got 2 weeks to make up your mind. It's no idle request. I'm telling you how my man's going to look. You're not telling me how you're going to look. I'm telling you. You've got 2 weeks to make up your fucking mind. If you have any mind. So much freedom in this man. It's taken away. You're not going to do what you want to do, what I want. As long as you take my fucking money. I present one kind of man. The image I present is what I want. Not what you want. You seem to be giving me more trouble than anybody else. You want to do something about it? It's up to you. You want to do something about it?
I would definitely not suggest you come.
Then I definitely tell you one thing. You keep your fucking mouth shut, get the fucking beard off, or get off the band right now. Now, what do you think about that? Now, that's a definite suggestion. When you go to work tonight, if I catch the fucking beard on you, I'll throw you off the fucking bandstand. Okay?
I'm not telling you
now. You what?
I'm not telling you.
You're through. Okay, right now. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you. If you don't like it, get off. Get off. Get your fucking clothes and get off. Right now. Pull the fucking bus over.
I got what? I got another boy. I got a right hand of your fucking brain if you want it. I give you 2 weeks. 2 weeks for what? You run the rules of my band. You don't like it. That's it. You get off. And try to take me to the fucking union. I'd love it. I'd love it. You get no 2 weeks money. You get 2 weeks time. Get off. I've been waiting for this for a long fucking time.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No, I
haven't. Ever since you opened your fucking mouth, because I don't like the way you write. And I still play your fucking charts. For you. You understand that? Not for me.
I'll leave you playing my charts
because what?
Particular Manhattan's the best chart in the book.
It is?
Yes.
Then take Manhattan and get off. I'm a success without you and without your writing. You understand that?
I know that.
All right, so don't tell me what the best chart in my book is.
Well, it certainly goes over the best.
It goes over the best?
Sure it does. People appreciate it.
Listen, go back to Sydney and whatever you do over there, good luck. Not over here.
You're the
I want to go up on the fucking band right now.
It's a pleasure to be off.
Consciousness, becoming conscious, begins as a function.
It's this. When I'm on my deathbed, Tom, I think it's very unlikely that I'm going to...
In my opinion, it's one of the greatest novels of the 20th century.
What I came to understand is that change
I've made some mistakes, but at least back in 2005 I snagged a designer toilet brush. I think it's very unlikely that that's going to happen. And what's happened is that all of this material well-being...
Consciousness flowing into the box. Flowing into your tiny, tiny world.
Not for a species of plant, for me.
And when he died, he was preserved and buried...
Expanded my mind by playing Scrabble with me whenever she could.
It hasn't necessarily made us happier. And one of the great paradoxes of our times is that we've gotten rich.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
The world. And into this vehicle, this vessel, this thing called human.
Levels of satisfaction haven't increased, and I think that has hit a point of no return, and you have this widespread quest for...
You make sure that I look excellent. That's you. One more.
Meaning.
One more.
Purpose and transcendence, particularly among...
Thus it begins. And you begin to expand that world. You begin to expand that box. Bumping into the beliefs and the love.
Typical baby boomer now has more of his or her life behind him or her than ahead. That's why you have these once exotic things moving to the...
These days, the written exam primarily tests whether you have the aptitude to succeed in the Fire Academy's training program.
10 million people meditating, 15 million people doing yoga.
Control reports, helicopter assets, things like that.
Don't want to wallow in it.
Well, but there is a real concern because this kind of thing has happened.
Well, I will tell you this, just speaking for myself, Phil. I'm 20 years a head football coach at Belmar Academy. We're going to be playing a divisional championship game this coming Saturday night. It's something that we're very proud of.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And We have a new multi-purpose gym, stadium, and fitness facility that was completed this past spring at a cost of some $2.5 million. And when it was completed, I'm very proud to say that they put my name on it. It is the Dozier Athletic Center.
That is something to be proud of.
And when I walk on the field on Saturday night, after the final game of the season, a game I think we will be victorious in, by the way, and I've got a great deal of respect for Coach Bowen and his program, but when I walk on the field Saturday night, I will have completed my 231st game as a head coach of the CIA program. I've won 4 divisional titles.
Yes, sir.
I've won 10
titles. Did you ever wonder if your mom gave dad a blowjob right before she kissed you goodnight?
That is much, much bigger than Carol Westcott and her job as a parent and a parent-teacher advisor at Belmar Academy, or the parents who try and tell me what to do.
All of that is admirable, but you're really...
driving, you spend 5 minutes switching back to diesel, so you'll end up with a full tank of diesel left.
Red sticker!
About the rise of labyrinths, which seem these wacky, exotic things, but they're becoming mainstream. People are looking for something more.
Okay, we've got to put a bookmark. Moving from the information age to the sexual age. Now, for a lot of people, you know, it just seems like about the day before yesterday that the information age was the new was getting started. We're moving out of the information age to the conceptual age. What's that mean?
Ever so slowly, yes. And what it means is that we're moving from an economy where the abilities that used to get you ahead. Remember, the information age was the age of what Peter Drucker famously called knowledge workers. These are people who did very well on their SATs. Well, I think that those sorts of folks are in for a somewhat rude awakening. And I think, to a certain extent, computer programmers have already had that rude awakening. And we talk a lot about outsourcing. Outsourcing, as we just discussed, is one of three factors pushing them there. But I think that we're moving, that these three forces are pushing us out of one era of competitive logic, of who gets ahead in the economy, into another era. Now, these sorts of things don't happen overnight. They happen slowly over time. And you can look in some very unlikely places.
Illinois is in the time of the judge's mother and husband. A white racist who's awaiting sentencing for plotting to kill the judge reportedly tried to pass a coded message to his followers a few months ago. This case in Chicago spotlights a growing danger to federal judges. CBS's Cynthia Bowers talked to one judge who knows this firsthand.
It wasn't until a writing workshop that I discovered the idea of friendships based on a shared passion, writing, or theater, or music. Some shared vision, a mutual quest that would keep you together with other people who valued this vague, intangible skill that you valued. These are friendships that outlast jobs and evictions. This steady, regular Thursday night gab fest was the only incentive to keep me writing during the years when writing didn't pay a dime. Tom and Susie and Monica and Steven and Bill and Corey and Rick.
And mass extermination. Millions more found their lives forever altered by the Nazi regime. And
I'm just not finished yet.
Thank you.
and others have brought this power forward to demonstrate what truth.
They run around.
This is Paul, huh? I know you're the best criminal divorce lawyer in the zip. Now, come on, buddy. How much do you get?
I get $10,000 an hour.
That's fair.
But, Paul, you're my friend, and the IRS isn't.
Tell me.
So, let's barter, huh?
Hey, I'm listening.
Okay, all right. You know my wife, Marcy.
Welcome to Podcast Solutions. I'm Michael Gohagan. Thanks for joining us again. Today on Podcast Solutions, I took the opportunity to get Chris McIntyre on the phone. Now, many of you will know that Chris McIntyre is the person behind PodcastAlley.com. And obviously, Chris has found himself at the center of this entire explosion in podcasting with his directory, which has become the focal point with its voting and discussion boards. So we took this opportunity to talk a little bit about how he came to find out about podcasting, what his goals are for podcasting, some of the issues regarding voting on his site as well.
It broke on a late summer morning 3.5 years ago.
That was a very scary time. I knew how serious our situation was.
No story over these many years.
Well, this is not where he sees podcasting going. He also talked a little bit about advertising and some of the press coverage on podcasting. So hopefully you enjoy this interview with Chris McIntyre from Podcast Alley.
Self emerges as consciousness, not your consciousness, but as consciousness flows through the pattern, through the entrained pattern, through the matrix, through the framework of dreams, or rather of memories and myths and dreams and vision. Spirit searches for soul. Soul waits to be found. Spirit with the light finds soul with the substance, and substance and light combine. And out of this combination, out of this conception, self, yourself is born.
Evidence of this shift. I'll give you an example.
Please. I mean,
let's take General Motors, okay? The head of General Motors, there's a new head of General Motors in North America a few years ago, and the New York Times reporter asked him, how will your approach differ from that of your predecessor?
This is Bob Lutz, is that who we're talking
about? Bob Lutz, right. He said, my approach is more right brain. I see us in the art business, art, entertainment, and mobile sculpture that coincidentally happens to provide transportation. Okay, that's kind of freaky. GM is in the art business. Mobile sculpture, right? Look at the United States Army. The United States Army has found the most effective recruiting tool it has ever had. And you know what it is? It's a video game. It's a downloadable video game that offers potential recruits a simulated experience of being in the Army. So the Army is in the video game business.
Okay,
look at a country.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I can imagine. We know what an industrial age economy looks like. Lots of people in factories building things. And information age also brings to mind an image of lots and lots of engineers and computer programmers, and yes, maybe those MBAs and lawyers around them. This is really part of the picture. How many people can sit around putting out Hollywood movies or designing toilet brushes for Target? Are there the numbers of jobs in this kind of economy that you describe that in?
Well, that requires something of a leap of faith.
Uh-
continue to live with the implications of National Socialist actions today.
Did you put a toaster down there? What the hell was that? Well, it's nice to have you back. You're not icky. Are you having a good summer? Are you enjoying yourself?
I don't know. It's hot. You know that? You know it gets hot in the summer?
Don't know what the hell you're talking about.
And I actually have friends who claim they don't like air conditioning.
I've heard that, too, from people.
And they're all like, I don't like air conditioning. And I guess, you know, they're right. I mean, when you think about what is air conditioning, it's just a definite solution to a problem. Oh, it's hot in here. Click. It's cool in here. You're right. That does suck.
But that has always been the case. An example of that, I grew up in... that has always been...
It reminds me...
Now, let me give you an...
Soul is the mother, spirit is the father, and their only child is you.
I grew up in Ohio.
The banking industry argues the bill would force those who can to pay up, while also cracking down on abuse.
The Rust Belt was rusting, and I remember, you know, we're moving to an information economy.
Hi, this is Barry White. Please join me on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th, for the first fucking thing.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and forget all my education.
Called a service economy, and I remember my own father saying to me, we can't have an economy where people don't make things. We can't have an economy where everybody...
In addition to these powerful factors, there is, I think, another that helps to explain the continuing fascination, indeed sometimes I think obsession, with National Socialism and the Third Reich. 45 years after the collapse of the Third Reich, as you know, it's impossible to pass a newsstand or go into a bookstore without finding sheafs of magazine articles and books dealing with National Socialism, the Third Reich, or with Adolf Hitler. Indeed, National Socialism is the most widely researched, discussed, and written about topic.
Each other haircuts? That'll never work. And yet, we have this information.
She was my first one.
Oh, I forgot. All right.
Right.
Okay, well, she's been bitten by the acting bug. Again. All right, yeah, please. So, I'll handle your divorce, and you get Marcy the lead in Arnold's next picture at Paramount.
I want to chop around the roof in 3 minutes to Meigs Field. At Meigs Field, I want the Learjet prep and a plan filed with St. Louis.
And the endangered catch of the day is pompous.
Well, how do you serve it?
I mean, the idea that we're a service economy is so mundane, it is essentially meaningless.
And soul and spirit, present you with your whole self. However you experience it in this duality, you experience it in this very real illusion of space-time, sequentially.
I lie in person. And on the phone, I lie to my friends. I lie to newspapers and magazines who sell my lies to more and more people. I'm just a part of a big cycle of lies. I should be fucking president.
And you accept or reject aspects of the whole, aspects of your whole self, progressively. We've talked of it in terms of the 12 faces or the 12 aspects of self.
Chester, who am I talking to?
and there's a sense of urgency. Right?
Here's another example. The CAPS 2 system said it was going to lower your code color level, at least to yellow, for you to get be singled out for extra screening interrogation if you have bad credit.
Right.
Now go get a home loan. They go through an FBI check. I mean, this is a joke. This is a...
And it's not as if these functions disappear. It's that we get better at them. Let's take manufacturing.
Like in our star-crossed century, is it the horror, the deaths that account for the haunting presence of National Socialists?
We have about one out of seven people in this country working in manufacturing, but we still have the largest manufacturing economy in the world. We just got really good at it. And if you look at the set of abilities that are necessary in manufacturing today, if you go to a factory floor, there are not
in part. I think the answer is obviously yes. The Soviet regime under Stalin, or the Khmer Rouge, and Pol Pot systematically exterminated larger proportions of the population. Stalin murdered millions, and millions more to concentration.
The same thing is true, I think, with some of these left-brain information age kind of professions.
Yeah, time I was hungry and I ate that food.
And I'm going to read just a few excerpts from this first chapter. Going up a mountain track, I fell to thinking. Approach everything rationally and you become harsh. Pull along in the stream of emotions and you will be swept away by the current. Give free rein to your desires and you become uncomfortably confined. It is not a very agreeable place to live, this world of ours. When the unpleasantness increases, you want to draw yourself up to some place where life is easier. It is just at the point when you first realize that life will be no more agreeable, no matter what heights you may attain, that a poem may be given birth or a picture created. I would go farther and say that it is not even necessary to make this vision a reality. Merely conjure up the image before your eyes, and poetry will burst into life, and songs pour forth, and the whole range of colors will of their own accord and in all their brilliance.
Financial analysts who simply execute transactions, that's not going to work anymore, because you can do it online. You can those kind of functions can be automated. But financial analysts or financial professionals who turn into broader life planners, who help understand people's true needs, those kind of folks will flourish. Same thing with lawyers. Okay, if you go to let's take an example from lawyers. All right, let's take an uncontested divorce.
Okay,
an uncontested divorce will cost you, depending on your jurisdiction, about $3,000. But actually executing an uncontested divorce essentially amounts to filling out forms, and it's only forms that a lawyer is authorized to do. So $3,000 for an uncontested divorce.
We don't. You pay for it and we give the money to Greenpeace.
The predatory abuser is someone who, in a premeditated way, borrows as much as they possibly can, racks up as many bills as they can.
In camps, and Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge exterminated a far greater percentage.
New metaphysics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards.
Continuing on, there's more to do.
God knows we have to keep at that, lest we fall into the big trench.
Yes, you go to something like CompleteCase.com, which is a website where you can get an uncontested divorce for $249.
Feel those things.
Like an uncontested divorce. The Lord.
Run shrieking to the nearest candy man.
Your soul in its many faces comes with a name, with a power, with that eternal flame. But they bring you the whole self, from innocent through waif and through warrior and nurturer, through the seekers of love and truth, through the magical you, through the masterful you, the destroyer, the creator, the fool and the wise, or the wise and the fool. From the innocence to the fool, all 12 of these aspects, for example, are a part of you all at once, but you experience them sequentially. Because you can't possibly, you can't handle it all at once.
Nothing but your fingerprints on the finest cock killer money can buy.
Where they claim 98.55% of the people voted. I think by...
Very routine. It's filling out forms.
So you're going to a vending machine online, essentially, and
something that simple, something that simple and routine. Now, what it means is that lawyers who are only executing these very simple, routine kind of functions are in big, big trouble. But it also means that lawyers who can go before a jury and tell a compelling story, will flourish. Lawyers who can sit in a negotiation, understand the unspoken subtleties, they are going to be fine. Same thing is true with accountants. Although I think accountants are basically buoyed a little bit in the short term by Sarbanes-Oxley, but in general I think accountants are in much bigger trouble.
What is the quality of concern that distinguishes this generation? What is the quality? Concern that distinguishes
to the Cambodian population than the Nazis did in Europe. And yet, neither the Stalinist nor the Khmer Rouge experiences has had the impact, the perspective of the regime itself, the party, as it unfolds its policies, as Nazi ideology becomes reality. Germany, above all, was written not as, and I think our association of it in the 20th century, having to do with German aggression toward the non-German world, but was written as a poem
to emphasize the need for Germans to think about Germany above the offensive, halted short of the great breakthrough, and by the fall of 1918, it was clear that the Allies were about to break through.
What is the quality of concern of that distinguishes this generation from Mark Twain's generation?
Well, maybe it's easier for me to talk about what my own concern is most recently, because, you know, even in the 15 or so years since I wrote Love and Death, the American Novel, which was my first large critical attempt, my own concerns have changed, and they center in a place where, you know, on a topic which I think everybody has to worry about now, which is the relationship between what we've come to call high culture and popular culture, between the art novel and the popular novel, between canonical literature, which is assigned and studied in schools, and junk or schlock or mere entertainment, or, you know, the French have fancy words for it, they call it para-literature. And what I'm interested in doing is blowing up
accounts begin is for why empathy is important. Why is empathy important?
As an adolescent, even as a grown-up, becoming conscious is a function of consciousness flowing over the pattern of matrix and framework delivered, conceived and delivered, birthed by soul and spirit in you. Presented as the whole living body of self, accepted, or rather experienced sequentially, accepted or rejected progressively. I abandon the innocence in me, or I cling to it for dear life. I abandon the waif, rejecting it as weak and stupid, or use it as my shield, my excuse, my explanation for everything. I am a warrior and nothing else. I am a nurturer, nurturing everyone, everything, nurture day, nurture night, nurture every minute, 24/7, nurture, nurture, nurture. When does anybody take care of me? Oh, I don't know, I don't know, I just don't. I seek truth, that's all that matters. I seek love. If I can just find somebody to love me, somebody to love me, I'll be fine, everything will be wonderful. I am a Machiavellian master. Conniving and manipulative, controlling, feeling a sense of power, a rush, a thrill, a certain sort of almost orgasmic sense. Ooh, am I masterful? Nothing innocent, no waif, nothing nurturing a warrior. I am just this cunning master. But I am this magician. Everything just happens magically. I don't know how, I don't know why. Oh, life is just a creator, destroyer. The wise one, the fool, those aspects, often with the rejection and the acceptance of others, of self fall apart. Never come to fruition, but they're there. They're... And out of this, never come to fruition, but they're there, they're available.
Distinction completely. I'm engaged in writing a book now, which has to be my last critical book, and therefore I interrupted to do other things. Novel I just talked about.
Is that supposed to be cause for rejoicing that it's your last critical book?
Well, it has to be my last critical book. It's rejoicing to me. Mm-hmm. It's called What Was Literature? Mm-hmm. What Was Literature? And I think that's a concept which is no longer very useful. It's an embarrassing thing for a man to say who earns his living by teaching at a university, but I've been doing that for 35 years, so...
Compared with the earlier parts of this course, our chronology is beginning to shrink. We're beginning to think in...
Well, Todd, where do you live in the city? Paint the picture for me. Where do you hang out?
Well, now that people are writing about me on the internet, I'd like to give my home address. I live downtown in sort of like a hipster punk rock area of town, and, you know, lots of piercings and tattoos, and it's like... There's guys everywhere. I see guys with, like, full neck tattoos, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just so tempting to walk up to them and go, hey, man, You forgot to not do that.
New metaphysics makes me want to slur my words and speak backwards.
Proclaimed as heretics in part because they tied themselves too closely to the Jewish tradition from which Christianity emerged.
We fought and praised each other, and it was enough. My pet theory about Fight Club's success is that the story presented a structure for people to be together. People want to see new ways for connecting.
In some ways, we can consider the Ebionites to be the real conservatives, the perpetrators of the status quo in ancient Christianity. They understood Jesus to be Jewish. They understood his religion to be Jewish. They understood that anyone who followed him needs to be Jewish.
The push against the rhythm of the session seems to be here asking for it, but you listening to it and go with it. I mean, there's all kinds of shadow stuff, but it's not really, you'd never call it a bad trip. You would just call it shadow stuff.
Print themselves in your mind's eye, though your canvas stands on its easel as yet untouched by the brush. It is enough that you are able to take this view of life and see this decadent, sullied, vulgar world, purified and beautiful in the camera of your innermost soul. Even the poet whose thoughts have never found expression in a single verse, or the painter who possesses no colors and has never painted so much as a single square foot of canvas, can obtain salvation and be delivered from earthly desires and passions. After 20 years of life, I realized that this is a world worth living in. 25. 5, I saw that just as light and darkness are but opposite sides of the same thing, so wherever the sunlight falls, it must of necessity cast a shadow. Today, at 30, my thoughts are these. In the depths of joy dwells sorrow, and the greater the happiness, the greater the pain. Try to tear joy and sorrow apart, and you lose your hold on life. Try to cast them to one side, and the world crumbles. Money is important, but be that as it may, when it accumulates, does it not become a worry which attacks you, even in sleep? Love is a delight, yet should the delights of love piling one upon another begin to bear down on you, then you will yearn for those days long before you knew them. It was just as my meandering thoughts reached this point that my right foot came down suddenly on the edge of a loose, angular rock, and I slipped. To compensate for my left foot, which I hastily shot out in an effort to keep my balance, the rest of me dropped. Fortunately, I came down on a boulder about 3 feet across, and luckily no damage was done.
And out of this, you become conscious. And you develop that sense through self-I and ego-I of identity, that image, who you are. Consciousness begins as a function. Becoming conscious begins as a function of flowing consciousness. And out of that emerges a sense of self. As a child yet, as an adolescent, as a grown up. But at that particular point, becoming consciousness shifts its function. It no longer is a primary function of a flow of consciousness. Rather, now it becomes a primary function of choice. Yes, conscious choice, often denied. It's consciousness. Often attributed to others, to mothers, to fathers, to the way the world works, to this one, to that one, to my unconscious, to my subconscious, to my ego, to whatever, to the way of the world, just not me. But nonetheless, it is still conscious choice. Conscious choice that emerges out of the stuff of reality creation, out of the raw materials, the beliefs you hold, which ones you choose to hold, which ones you don't, the attitudes, the feelings, the thoughts, the other decisions you make, the other choices you make, out of the imagination, expectation, desires that you hold or do not hold, out of the energies that sustain you and the energies that generate, out of the stuff of reality creation, choices are made. Often so quickly, often it seems automatic. Or others make them and you accept them, which is a choice. I'm not going to choose, I'm going to take your choice. I'm going to take your choice. I'm going to choose what my mother, my father, what my teacher, what my whomever chose for me. I'm not choosing, they made that now. Yes. It becomes a function of conscious choice. For everyone, no matter how much they deny that choice, their sense of self, the sense of being conscious, and who and what that conscious being is a function no longer of flowing consciousness, but now of conscious choice. Some people stop there and live their whole of life there. Those who seek and those who become enlightened. Becoming conscious shifts again. Becoming conscious, a function of choice, expanding, becoming more conscious, if you will, becomes a function of more conscious choice. A more conscious choice. Of choice that is mysterious, that is mystical. Of choice in response to spirituality and to spiritual challenge. See, this is why such as Jung said so many years ago, that if a person does not have a sense of spirituality, whatever that spirituality may be, by the time they reach the mid of life, he would not take them as a client because they would not find a resolution. That one needs a sense of spirituality. One needs a sense of responding to a spiritual challenge, not to become conscious, but to expand consciousness. So what begins as a flow of consciousness that becomes Conscious choice then expands by becoming more conscious choice, mystical choice, mysterious choice, choices generated out of a foundation of spirituality and responding to a spiritual challenge, responding to the promise. Going home now, coming home, to return to God, Goddess, all that is, or however one terms such destination. And so you, having become conscious, having become conscious by choice, having worked in your metaphysics and your spirituality, becoming more conscious, expanding being conscious, in order to reach, in order to work with your unconscious in a way, you must move beyond all that you define yourself to have become. The step beyond being conscious, as you have developed meticulously on for so many years, you must become unconscious to find your unconscious, and if you're unconscious, you'll never find it. Now let us look a little deeper into the paradox itself. Any paradox that is genuine, and truly this one is a genuine paradox, there is always chaos, there is always complexity. Now, in chaos, there are bifurcating choices. Oh, such a big word. As Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Yes. Bifurcating. A choice that divides in two. But a particular kind of choice that divides in two, wherein the choice both presupposes and pre-concludes. Presupposes new choices and precludes, closes off other choices.
Outsource it, you can't automate it. Therefore, there's a premium on it in an economy where other kinds of functions can be outsourced and automated.
Thank you. But she was no longer Lily Star in the street. The street star in the street.
Well, Chris, I want to welcome you to Podcast Solutions. As everybody knows, this is an interview with Chris McIntyre, who is the kind of in charge. I think you're more than a webmaster. I mean, you're the guy behind Podcast Alley. So thanks for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Perfect. Well, let me ask you this, Chris. How did you first come to find out about podcasting?
Back when I was living in Chicago, I read lots of news stories every day. I try to stay up on the technology, and I don't even know what news feed it was, but I heard this word podcast, and the word itself was pretty sexy, so I decided to start digging in and figuring out what it was. And the more I realized about it and what it could potentially do, the more excited I got about it. And, you know, that was back in October of last year. So.
Okay, and now when you first got involved, what did you do? You went out and found some? I mean, who were kind of the people you turned to first? I assume you subscribed to some shows.
And from there, you take your best next step, one after another.
Actually, what I tried to do, and the reason I developed the directory was, I tried to find some other podcasts out there, but at that time there weren't very many out there. iPodder.org existed, but still to date, it's not very good for me to find anything yet. All it provides is a genre breakdown and the names of shows, which really never did very much for me. So what I tried to do is just create a way that people could find these shows easier, and not only easier, but actually get good information about them as far as a description, ranked next to the next best one. You know, is it good? Is it better? Is it worse? You know, and stuff like that.
Right. Now, prior to the directory itself, so it sounds like the Podcast Alley came about somewhat because of your frustration in the your ability to be able to find these podcasts.
That's exactly right. But my real background is in interface design. That's the kind of thing I love, is just taking things and cleaning them up and making the information easier for people to see.
Right.
And that's really what my goal was with Podcast Alley.
Now, when you found podcasting, though, what was your initial thoughts about it once you kind of delved into the podcasts themselves, the ability to generate these shows, you know, from your bedroom, literally, if you wanted to?
Right. Well, initially, you know, that was a little bit, that part alone was a little bit scary because I wasn't sure how many people could actually do a show, you know, with what expertise it'd take. And then the more I found out about how little it really did take, you know, the requirements for microphones and mixers and what you did and didn't have to do, the more exciting it actually got. Now, my initial thoughts came into a couple different realms.
As the addition I'm talking about here, which include design and empathy and story and what I call symphony and play and meaning, these abilities aren't really new. In fact, they are, to my mind, they are fundamentally human abilities.
Cloud the future of democracy in Germany, and that cloud, the cloud under which the
with animals as gods.
I could stand a change. Now, you say that that you're concerned to eliminate this distinction because you think it's unreal, or because you think it is a deceptive. I take it you would quarrel, say, with Mike McDonald's rather rigid categories.
Yeah, I would indeed. I think it was unreal to begin with, and it has now become a prison and puts teachers of so-called literature, capital L literature, into a strange role of enforcers where, you know, there's a constant temptation for them to say to their students, you're not enjoying what you're supposed to be enjoying, when their students find the manifest pleasures and exaltation and vision and illumination which literature traditionally is supposed to give elsewhere than in the assigned canonical books. I mean, some teachers get very disturbed when a student will not take a class in literature of the English Renaissance, let's say, because it conflicts with her favorite soap opera on television.
Conclusion by looking at the details that are provided in the 10th test question. This is called inductive reasoning.
But actually what's happening when that student watches the soap opera is the sort of things which writers always wanted to happen to people. They get a moment of illumination, release from
the ordinary burdens of, how you say, everydayness and even of rationality, and a better understanding of their own lives.
Well, how do you know that they got a better understanding of their own lives?
What
entitles you to this deduction?
Well, I know it in two ways. One, I began by talking to such people at first condescendingly and defensively. Then I started watching what they watched. And now I've become hooked myself, so that I spend a good deal of my life, even more than I would like to admit sometimes. I won't give my class Renaissance literature when the edge of night is on, right? And I begin to see... I watch it, too, in the presence of other people. You know, one has a sense sometimes of shared feelings. And see what happens to people in the presence of those things, which, in the funny way that literary criticism has developed, is thought of as being per se, generically, right, outside the pale of literature.
You were going to do that. Then you said, you know, maybe I shouldn't do that. But then you forgot.
Are part of what makes us human. And as you said, I think, Tom, these muscles have been underworked and we need to work them back into shape. But all of us harbor these capacities that I'm talking about.
And another mental ability closely related to this is deductive reasoning.
You have to, it isn't something that you can go to community college and get a six-week course in.
In deductive reasoning, you will be given general statements to begin with, and then tested to see if you can make some very specific, concrete applications of the...
I come to a choice that is bifurcating.
Danger. Danger.
So, and she took care of everything. She took care of the whole moving and all the...
different directions. If I choose this one, then that one and all the other choices associated with it are no longer available. They are precluded.
System or whatever become more evident.
Well, you're forced to pay more attention to the body as you get older. You're forced to, and that has helped me in a way.
Shut down. But as I also choose this one,
Danger.
It opens me up to a whole new range of choices.
Danger.
Presupposed prior to happening, presupposed choices. Once I choose this, I can no longer choose that.
Let's choose a dream.
Centuries rather than tens of thousands of years.
For instance, it's my own conviction after watching the things for a long time myself and talking to people who watch them habitually that many of the ideas which now get a kind of discursive, polemical expression in the feminist movement were actually bred in the image of woman's life and her relationship to the world, which goes on the soaps all the time, daytime serials on television.
But once I choose this, a whole new array of choices opening up.
I'm gonna rain this way again. I am a rain.
Moral sunshine.
so that people in that sense. And as a matter of fact, I suppose one of the functions of popular literature is always to speak for groups who are excluded from the centers of high culture.
System shut down.
Books are typically popular books. Books by, I don't know, black authors. So
excluded for what reason?
Excluded because at a certain point... Well, let me talk historically, because the only way I can make sense of it.
Is a concept, bifurcating choice, critical to the outcome in chaos?
I'm just not finished yet.
And those of you who have read anything about any or heard, even if you haven't, you hear the stories, the concept of chaos theory, where an elephant stampede in Africa leads to a storm in New York City 3 months later, that the flapping of the wings of a butterfly in Beijing or in some place in Ecuador leads to an unseasoned snowstorm and a flood that wipes out and destroys through a series of bifurcating choices.
Trust your fate to the friendly men in flak jackets with automatic weapons.
Fixed up desire.
So just so, stuff alone is not enough. It has to have an allure. It has to have...
And our republic was born, never really would dissipate. Nonetheless, the constitution that was drafted by these parties in Weimar was one of the most progressive constitutions in history. It granted universal suffrage. Women were enfranchised as the first in Europe. A Bill of Rights, an extraordinarily progressive Bill of Rights, and also commitments on the part of the new Weimar government to create a welfare state, social commitments, the like of which Europe had not seen. And it's something that we will have an occasion to talk about, because the parties believed that voting had been manipulated in the imperial period, a radical system of proportional representation was taken up in the Weimar Constitution, which gave, in effect, it's more complicated than this, but I think not improper to say that, in effect, for every 60,000 votes that a party received in elections, they got a seat in the Reichstag. This was in order to give every political view...
But first, what do we mean by civilization?
Look at books like How to Make an American Quilt and The Divine Secrets of the Ya-Ya Sisterhood and The Joy Luck Club. These are all books that present a structure, making a quilt or playing mahjong, that allows people to be together and share their stories. All these books are short stories bound together by a shared activity. Of course, they're all women's stories. We don't see a lot of new models for male social interaction.
Kind of an emotional
creativity
feel, an aesthetic
invested.
The wide diversity of early Christianity can be considered by now looking at a group that stood at the opposite end of the theological spectrum from the Ebionites, who were in fact proclaimed heretics because they went too far the other way.
The fractals of chaos reaching a certain point, bifurcating choice, all lining up in a certain sort of way.
Mount Moriah, and we still live in terror.
Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Fear of God makes you afraid of everything. All the Jews are good at is being afraid and being sacrificed.
Do you even believe in God?
I'm the only one who does believe. I see him for the power drug madman that he is, and we're supposed to worship such a deity? I say never.
Avi, go ask Rabbi Springer to come and remove Danny from my class. And you, if you had come out of Egypt, you would have been destroyed in the desert with all those who worship the golden calf.
Then let him destroy me now. Let him crush me like the conceited bully that he is. Go ahead.
And then a scrapbook of sound.
That's the way it was, and that's the way it is.
That kid's...
To make sick, proceed, job.
Hang up.
What you waiting for, man? I hear no music.
Thank you for your continuing support.
There's your spirit.
We'll now provide 60 seconds of unmodulated grooves.
Number one in the world of sound.
Your fingerprints on the finest cop killer money can buy.
There is a guy in the South Village called Tony. He is a ninja. What?
Do you like women with tattoos?
I love women with tattoos. I go crazy. I'm kind of superficial and shallow about that, actually.
And it is always the same.
Mm-hmm. A spiritual appeal, and we can make fun of that.
End results in chaos that are bifurcating choices that have critical impact upon the outcome. There is also complexity. And within complexity, within paradox, there is complexity. And within complexity, there are spontaneous, self-organizing choices. Spontaneous, self-organizing choices that organize themselves in complexity. By entering the grand paradox of unconscious, entering the chaos and making bifurcated choices.
And actually, I think some of the making fun of that is justified, but if you look at it this way, if you go and buy a toilet brush, it's going to represent 0.00000001% of your lifetime income.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I go crazy. I don't even care what the tattoo is. I mean, I can meet a woman. I'm like, hey, what's that little thing on your shoulder? It's like, oh, this? It's a soybean? Oh, really? I thought it was a Rice Krispie.
Why shouldn't it be cool? Why shouldn't it give you some moment of aesthetic pleasure?
Well, we see retailers succeeding on just that.
I'll have it. Yeah, and I'll have what he's having.
As I rose and looked around me, I noticed away off to the left of the track a towering peak shaped like an inverted bucket. Immediately below me, a lark burst suddenly into song. But gazed down into the valley as I would, I could see no sign of the bird. I could hear his voice clearly, but that was all. The ceaseless attack and vigor of his song made me feel that this vast, limitless body of air was dashing backwards and forwards in a frantic effort to escape the unbearable irritation of 1,000 flea bites. That bird really did not stop even for an instant. It seemed that he would not be satisfied unless he could sing his heart out, incessantly, day and night, throughout that idyllic springtime.
Entering the complexity and making spontaneous, self-organizing choices. You can generate the possibility and potential. You can generate the opportunity to engage in an encountering way. To harness the power to access the secrets, the truths, and awaken mystery.
Theoretically possible, could an advanced civilization have spread out on a large scale?
Nothing but your fingerprints on the finest cop killer money can buy.
Just a part of a big cycle of lies.
Building an enormous business just around design.
And Virginia Pistrell has a wonderful book called The Subject of Style that makes the case that all businesses have to abide by what she calls...
Could a sophisticated society have colonized large parts of the galaxy? Might there be such a thing as a galactic empire other than in the movies? Well, on Earth, colonization has been a perennially popular endeavor. The word colonia, which means settlement, comes from the Latin, although Rome was not the first society to cede both its populace and its culture in distant lands. Roman colonization efforts were more successful than most, of course. In four centuries, they've expanded their domain from a small city on the west coast of Italy to an empire stretching from Egypt to Britain.
George, Paul.
Alex, darling.
What are my two favorite bad boys plotting today?
imperative. But there's another aspect of abundance that I think is extremely, extremely important here, and it is this. When I am on my deathbed, Tom, I think it's very unlikely that I'm going to look back on my life.
I had newspapers and magazines who sell my lies to more and more people.
I've made some mistakes, but at least back in 2005, I snagged a designer toilet brush. I think it's very unlikely that that's going to happen. And what's happened is that all of this material well-being hasn't necessarily made us happier. And one of the great paradoxes of our times is that we've gotten richer and richer and richer, but our levels of satisfaction haven't increased.
No, Tasha.
Tasha.
I make no graven image of the Lord or the form of any figure or of man or woman or anything that looks like anything, because he's not like anything. Not only can you not see him or hear him, but you can't even think about him. I mean, what's the difference between that and him not existing at all?
There's no difference.
Christianity's silly, but at least there's something to believe in or not believe. I mean, Judaism, there's nothing.
Nothing but nothingness. Judaism's not really about belief. It's about doing things. Keeping the Sabbath, lighting candles, visiting the sick.
And belief follows?
Nothing follows. Because you don't do it because it's smart or it's stupid, and you don't do it because you get saved because nobody gets saved. You just do it because the Torah tells you to, and you submit to the Torah.
That is fucked.
Don't swear in front of it, okay?
Why should I submit?
You shouldn't.
You think I should just because there's no reason?
I think you shouldn't.
I mean, Judaism doesn't even need a god. You have the Torah, that's your fucking god. The book's closed.
I think your Hebrew's getting real good.
I told you I was good at this.
You also have nothing else to do all day, so...
What are you saying? I learned it better and faster than you did? Maybe it's because I'm smarter. You think that's funny? You think Jews are the only smart ones?
Think I'm Jewish?
That's all you ever talk about. Jewish, Jewish, Jewish. The only people that ever talk about it that much are Jews.
Nazis talk about it all the time.
Do they?
Real ones. Hitler and Goebbels, they talked about it incessantly.
Oh, is that why you became a Nazi? To talk about Jews incessantly?
You want a punch in the mouth?
Okay. Let's light candles on Friday. Say the Kaddish.
Kaddish is a prayer for the dead.
Kiddush. Say the Kiddush. Light candles. Come on. We could shave my head, fuck through a sheet, all that stuff. Let's just try it.
She was making the rounds in a systematic military fashion on TV, radio, and in the newspapers.
That has hit a point of no return, and you have this widespread quest for...
It does stop with you, you understand? Spread the buy orders over different accounts, you won't get burnt. Between you and us. You understand that, Mr. Fox? Oh, come on, you gotta be kidding. Their quarterlies are for shit.
Because in the whimpering and whining, you're not staying with the project, so to speak.
In you and in your world. Or not. If you make a wrong bifurcating choice,
or if those spontaneous self-organizing choices do not organize themselves in a way. Though possibility and potential might exist, the opportunity will be missed. By entering the paradox, you can, through bifurcating choices, through spontaneous self-organizing choices, engage, harness, access, and awaken.
Li vede come se fossero vicinissimi, come se li potesse toccare, e pensa.
Rather than refusing to acknowledge Jesus' divinity as the Ebionites did, this other group emphasized his divinity too much.
E piegargli le gambe. Cade in ginocchio.
You are given credit for all the correct answers that you give. Hence it's important that you answer every question. You're running out of time and have to use a wild guess.
Con una fatica enorme solleva lo sguardo verso Dark. È sempre là.
Told you already.
The curator stammered, kneeling defenseless on the floor of the gallery.
I have no idea what you are talking about.
Now I know what a soybean looks like.
Do you actually, it's been on the subject of food, do you eat out a lot in the city? Do you go out much?
I eat out a lot. I mean, it's just, there's unbelievable amount of restaurants. You don't even think of the amount of restaurants in New York. It's like, I was walking around, I saw this Malaysian restaurant I'd never seen before. I look in the window, it's all men eating there. It's like, wow, most cities probably don't even have a Malaysian restaurant. We have a gay Malaysian restaurant.
When I listen to Mountain Stream, I want to get down on all fours and...
They're essentially at rest with respect to each other, and they define the Earth-Mars reference frame then. And so these two clocks I've drawn are synchronized in that frame of reference. They both read the same time at the same instant. We talked about that in some detail last time, and we know how to synchronize.
Meaning and purpose and transcendence.
The clocks.
Clearly among the baby boom generation, who typical baby boomer now has more of his or her life behind him or her than a...
ahead and take some calls.
That's why you have these once exotic things moving to the mainstream. 10 million people meditating, 15 million people doing yoga. You even have, and I write about in the book, about the rise of labyrinths, which seem these wacky, exotic things, but they're becoming mainstream because people are looking for something.
Why? Does he explore it? No. Does he give himself up to it and learn about it? No. What he does is construct a stockade so that he can protect himself against it.
And most likely you will not know, nor be able to comprehend, label, or explain.
He makes himself a little house, and the first thing he puts on the house, in the house, I should say, is a placard so he can mark the days, because he doesn't want to lose track of the calendar back in Europe where he comes from.
Exactly what you engaged, harnessed, accessed, or awakened.
He regarded events as though they were part of the action of a no-play.
But upon your return, upon your return from beyond being conscious, or being unconscious, from your return from being beyond conscious, in the unconscious, you can experience the evidence, the reflections and expressions, and you can be the recipient of the greater reward, of the greater magic, of the greater change, and of the richer success and fulfillment of that work, of that magic that happened in the process of bifurcation and spontaneous self-organized choice, in what happened as mystery unfolded, or as mystery remained folded.
more calls. We're going to talk to Jackie and Sean and Maureen and Robert and Kara.
Hey, it's not in your court, Alex. It's a matter of the heart.
I've already seen your paper, I said. No, not the paper, he said. A bigger surprise than that.
More.
Okay, we've got to put a bookmark.
Being from the information.
Amazingly, 5 customers give you their names. You order another 16 and silently pray that your big orders will start arriving. You think of all the lost potato chip sales. By
the conceptual age. Now, for a lot of people, you know, it just seems like about the day before yesterday that the information age was the new news. What was getting started? We're moving out of the information age to the conceptual age. What's that mean?
Ever so slowly, yes. What it means is that we're moving from an economy where the abilities that used to get you ahead. Remember, the information age was the age of what Peter Drucker famously called knowledge workers. These are people who did very well on their SATs. Well, I think that those sorts of folks are in for a somewhat rude awakening. And I think to a certain extent, computer programmers have already had that rude awakening. And we talk a lot about outsourcing. Outsourcing, as we just discussed, is one of three factors pushing it there. But I think that we're moving, that these three forces are pushing us out of one era of competitive logic,
Why'd you come tonight to see me?
Study Torah.
I thought you hated Torah.
Doesn't mean I don't like to study it.
Expose all the lies and fucked up thinking. You know the joke of Jews shipwrecked on the desert island? And they rescue him, they say he's built through synagogues. I say, for what you built through synagogues? He says, one to pray in. And one I never set foot in so long as I live. So help me God. You pray in the one you'd never set foot in. And vice versa.
Head in the economy into another era. Now this is the... Things don't happen overnight. They happen
spontaneous, self-organizing choices.
Only over time, and you can look in
for the past few days, we've been looking through our reporter's notebook at some of the stories we've covered in 4 decades at CBS News.
Very unlikely places for evidence of this shift.
Kids. I've been around kids. I'm around kids every day.
It evolved. I saw it was much more about Judaism. I saw the Judaism, which I had never understood, really. I mean, it had been this culture that I had lived within, but a religion that I don't think I had grasped. I began to see what it was, and in seeing what it was, it fascinated me a great deal. And one day, while we were working on a film for Universal, I suddenly had the idea for the film, the scene which is now the pivot at the center of the film, when he goes into the synagogue to plant the bomb and finds himself, to his surprise and his disgust, moved by all of the objects of Judaism, and particularly by the Torah. I realized at this point that he would have a conversion, a kind of conversion, not back to Judaism, but a kind of recognition that he had all along, without realizing it, been a kind of rabbi monke, a rabbi in spite of himself. And he'd hidden this from himself, that really his anti-Semitism, I now began to see, was a form of practicing Judaism. And if you know anything about Judaism, it's not so odd that that would be a form of practicing it. But, you know, it's a kind of practicing in the breach. but that with this conversion experience in the synagogue, he would realize that that was so. And he would, because he had the kind of integrity of a fanatic, be unable to deny that. A lot of people, if they saw some feeling in themselves that they didn't want, they would reject it and they would pretend it wasn't there. But he has this kind of purity that insists that he does acknowledge it once he's seen it.
Example. I mean, General. Let's take General Motors, okay? The head of General Motors.
I have to rely upon that. This sounds far too frightening.
And I said, well, if he's acknowledging it, what happens then? What happens to this guy who's been living the life of a Nazi, a neo-Nazi, and hiding his Judaism when he realizes that he's sort of a rabbi after all? And the answer I came up with was that he would live a double life. He would go back and forth between, you know, Jew by day, Nazi by night.
Paul, in my court, love is nothing.
Touche. Touche. How's femme advertising?
Oh, you didn't see Ad Rag today.
No.
I acquired the Milano Fatale agency. Ooh. I'm femme fatale now.
Bravo.
Oh, I see you're having a whale for lunch, huh? A little celebration.
What? Oh, that's Herr Trigger.
That bozo is the German pistol magnate?
My very latest client.
Something like that. That was really the moment at which the story became irresistible to me.
There's a new head of General Motors North America a few years ago, and the New York Times reporter asked him, how will your approach
to me? I felt that in that conceit, I had discovered something I'd been looking
for. This sounds far too complicated. Far too difficult. Oh, Lazarus, this is too abstract.
Looking for a way of expressing all my life. That the notion of somebody who wants to be a Jew and a Nazi, not reconciling them or synthesizing them, but in a certain sense, you know, being pulled apart by them and wants to be pulled apart by them, that struck me as a very universal impulse. I mean, not always expressed in Judaism and Nazism, but in, I think people are drawn to contradiction. And there's something very invigorating and stimulating about contradiction.
Differ from that of your predecessor.
This is Bob Lutz, is that who we're talking
about? Bob Lutz, right. He said, my approach is more right brain. I see us in the art business, art, entertainment, and mobile sculpture that coincidentally happens to provide transportation. Okay, that's kind of freaky. GM is in the art business.
Mobile sculpture.
Mobile sculpture, right. Look at the United States Army. The United States Army has found the most effective recruiting tool it has ever had. And you know what it is? It's a video game. It's a loadable video game that offers recruits a simulated experience of being in the Army. The Army is in the video game business.
Metaphysics, whatever, I'm still here. Unpotted, cast off, in between.
Stressing
the,
that Jesus was God completely, so much.
Between all this stuff, you gotta start somewhere.
In these places, I found the truest stories
little
in support
clicks.
Groups, in hospitals.
Little clicks.
Anywhere people had nothing left to lose, that's where they told the most
truth. Coteries.
While riding Invisible Monsters, I'd call telephone sex numbers and ask people to tell me their dirtiest
the urge
stories.
While the colonize has waxed and waned, it has never been suppressed for very long.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I can imagine.
Metaphysics.
You know what an industrial age economy
Gary
looks like.
Geiserman.
Lots of people in factories, buildings.
Still
and
remembering
information
it.
Age also brings to mind an image of lots and lots of engineers and computer programmers,
do a salmon
and yes,
run
maybe
here
those MBAs and lawyers around them.
Caught up in
this
the,
is a little harder to picture. I mean, how many people can sit around putting out Hollywood movies or designing toilet brushes for Target? Are there the numbers
heavy smoking
of jobs
man
in this kind of economy that you described, Ben Pink?
Kind of thing.
Well, that requires something.
Thank you very much.
At a basic level, the taking of new territory has survival value, at least on Earth. Therefore, it's
he's
no
trying
surprise
to do some hand-me-down knitting and sewing and
science fiction writers
life on the waterfront
have assumed that the extraterrestrials
alien
will also engage
bare knuckle
in kind of
culture.
And as we've noted,
staying
while
afloat,
the lure of new real estate
off,
or raw materials might not be much of an incentive
down
for the aliens,
dreaming of a Tom Cruise kind of future,
getting away from it all to avoid the impending death of their home star.
All kinds of aquatic life here, swimming all around the freaking place. You know what happens in life? It organizes itself and then starts to ferment, turn to turpentine. Trying to
I am going to make, his
make a living here in some kind of an alien, godforsaken kind
of
a crucible matrix
of
heavy S&M.
Mr. Power, telephone.
And women torture, of course.
So, Alexander, sit down.
Thanks, George.
It's all around here.
Are we,
like some of those cartoons on the web, you know?
Your wife?
You know.
Gutting the house.
Again?
Even if you don't know.
Favorite color.
Miss Femme, telephone.
Take my word for it.
Excuse me, George.
Hurry back.
The possibility of expression and representation. It was a tremendously democratic idea. But one doesn't have to be a wizard to foresee difficulties.
I mean, I know it's a university, but
proved to be a remarkable diverse party system. There would be over 35 different political parties in Germany.
Now, let me tell you, I grew up in Ohio.
The new republic then.
Double O. Was rusting. And I remember, you know, we're moving to an information.
You could recoil and walk away like those who claim that the unconscious isn't real. Although it's real, you're powerless to deal with it. You could retreat and grow silent like those who claim that the unconscious is real and you have power, but you must relinquish that power to it.
That's an average of...
But you see, in the recoiling or in the retreating, you're going to find it more difficult. It's not going to be easy to do that. It's not going to be as easy as it is for those who all along have held the unconscious isn't real or that you're powerless, or all along have held that you must give your power to it at best. It's not going to be easy for you because, see, you know your unconscious is out there. And you know that save for the paradox, you can engage, in fact you already have, in working with us over the years, however many of you, that you can engage and you can harness. And you also know, perhaps not knowing how you know, but you can access the secrets, the mysteries, the truths, and awaken the mystery. Your soul knows, your spirit knows, and you know. You don't know all, but you know enough. So it's going to be hard to walk away, it's going to be hard to go silent with recoiling and with retreating just because it seems difficult or frightening. Or... So you can choose not to recoil, not to retreat. You can choose to move forward. And in so doing, developing that ability and the willingness to move through the paradox, the grand paradox, and find that unconscious engaging, harnessing, accessing, awakening.
Dance me through the...
to what was often called a service economy. And I remember my own father saying to me, we can't have an economy where people don't make things. We can't have an economy where everybody is giving each other haircuts. Dance me to the end. And yet, this information economy, I mean, the idea that we're a service economy is so mundane, it's essentially meaningless.
Check out orange.
And it's not as if these functions disappear, it's that we get better at them. Let's take manufacturing. Yeah. We only have about one out of seven people in this country working in manufacturing, but we still have the largest manufacturing economy in the world. We just got really good at it. And if you look at the set of abilities that are necessary in manufacturing today, if you go to a factory floor, there are not people who are screwing in bolts. There are people who are either who are wearing working in clean rooms, or there are people who are manipulating robots. And
critical role. President Johnson to his credit for firm leadership in overseeing the bill, but Congress also shaped the outcome. One example being the power.
Reagan was the very ideal of grace, loyalty, and compassion.
On computer screens, it's a very different set of abilities. The same thing is true, I think, with some of these left-brain information age kind of professions. So, financial analysts who simply execute transactions, that's not going to work anymore, because you can do it online. You can those kind of functions can be automated. But financial analysts or financial professionals who turn into broader life planners, who help understand people's true needs, those kind of folks will flourish. Same thing with lawyers. Okay, if you go to let's take an example from lawyers. Okay, let's take an uncontested divorce.
Okay,
an uncontested divorce will cost you, depending on your jurisdiction, about $3,000. But
you see, to do this, you need to be willing.
Danny, glad you came back. I wanted to take up that discussion we were having.
I can't right now.
About Abraham and Isaac. You remember what you said? That Isaac actually died on Mount Moriah. I've been thinking maybe you were right about that. You remember what you said? That Isaac actually died on Mount Moriah. I've been thinking maybe you were right about that. Died. And then reborn in the world to come. You remember what you said? That Isaac actually died on Mount Moriah. I've been thinking maybe you were right about that. Died and then reborn in the world to come. Danny, stop. Where do you think you're going? Don't you know? There's nothing up there.
Executing an uncontested divorce essentially amounts to filling out forms.
To give up the being conscious that is defined by the entrained subconscious, that is defined and bounded by the choices that you've made by accepting the choices of others. And you need to step beyond the boundary of becoming more conscious, to go beyond being conscious.
forms that a lawyer is authorized to fill out. So
becoming unconscious not by pulling away, but becoming unconscious by going forward.
Knowledge for an uncontested divorce, unless you go to something like CompleteCase.com, which is a website where you can get an uncontested divorce for $249.
He said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of
Moriah. Not his only son.
And offer him there as a son.
The only one he loves.
You only kill the ones you love, is that right?
What are you doing here? But you're an anti-Semite.
Why did you grow up?
The skinhead.
It's just a style. I mean, there are anti-racist skins.
Believe me, Danny's a racist kind. You fascist, Danny? Yes or no? Thinks the Jews are wimps.
What's a fascist?
Rest my case. He's a Jewish Nazi. He always was.
Well, he's obviously a Zionist Nazi.
The Zionists are not Nazis.
They're racist. They're militaristic. They act like stormtroopers in the territory.
And do you hate them because they're wimps or because they're stormtroopers?
They don't have extermination camps.
They have Sabra and Shatila.
Or do you just hate them?
That wasn't genocide. That was the Lebanese killing each other, and the Israelis knew nothing about it.
He's talking about the camps, Sharon and Kurds, the phalanges, to go in there and murder.
Listen, we don't know that. There's absolutely no proof of that.
Have you ever read the New York Times?
Yeah, it was a war. People get killed. I want to know why the Jews are always held to a higher standard than everybody else.
Because we're the chosen people. Isn't that right, Daniel? Isn't that right?
Listen, read early Zionists and European Jewry. They sound exactly like Goebbels.
They sound like you.
Look at just how Nazis did everything that Hitler told them. You do everything the Torah tells you, or the Rebbe is identical to slave
myself. Stop. We don't want that in here. Don't need that kind of crap.
Not
not becoming unconscious by going to sleep, but becoming unconscious by becoming more awake. First, you have to develop the self and the expanded self so you have something of substance to move beyond.
Is very routine. It's filling out forms.
So you're going to a vending machine online, essentially, and for something that simple
and routine. Now, what it means is that lawyers who are only executing these very simple routine kind of functions are in big, big trouble. But it also means that lawyers who can go before a jury and tell a compelling story, lawyers will flourish. Lawyers who can sit in a negotiation, understand the.
There are those who advise us to ask a lot of good, smart, open-ended questions and just let the other person talk.
Subtleties, they're going to be fun.
Name of the party, DAP, struck him as too one-sidedly left. He decided to change the name to something that I think to American ears always sounds very bizarre. It was the National Socialist German Workers' Party.
First, you gotta get it so that you can let go of it.
I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel it.
Wrong. If all you do is ask questions and contribute nothing about yourself, your comments, or interests, that is not conversation.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
Social Security Administration, Department of Defense.
thing is true with accountants, although I think accountants are they've been buoyed a little bit in the short term by Sarbanes-Oxley, but in general, I think accountants are in much bigger trouble.
The last time I had a meeting for
why empathy is.
Maybe I should turn it off.
I can feel it.
Right after Sundays, I was working in L.A., and I went back there. And my agent had been contacted by people from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And
why is empathy important? You can't outsource it, and you can't automate it.
And they wanted to see the film. Well, you know, I'd just come out of Sundance where everybody liked the film. Nobody thought the film was anti-Semitic. Everybody recognized it in some sense. It's kind of, really, it's kind of embarrassingly philo-Semitic if you think about it. So I thought, well, look, you know, I'll take it over to the rabbi, and he'll give me a nice pat on the head. So I thought, get himself. You know, it'd been right after Sundance. I was working in L.A., and I went back there. Everybody liked the film. Nobody thought the film was anti-Semitic. Everybody recognized it in some sense. It's kind of, really, it's kind of embarrassingly philo-Semitic if you think about it. So I thought, well, look, you know, I'll take it over to the rabbi.
And therefore, there's a premium on a premium on it in an economy where other kinds of functions can be outsourced and automated. Now, if it has the addition I'm talking about here, which includes design and empathy and story and what I call symphony and play and meaning, these abilities aren't really new. In fact, they are, to my mind, they are fundamentally human abilities. They are part of what makes us human. And as you said, I think, Tom, these muscles have been underworked, and we need to work them back.
And he'll give me a nice pat on the head, and everything will be fine. Well, I went over there one evening, and the minute I saw the rabbi, I knew I'd made a mistake. It was like, this guy looked at me, and he already didn't like me. He was like, I've seen a lot of kids like you, I never liked one of them. And I thought, I've seen a lot of rabbis like you, and I never liked them either. And there was the rabbi, there was a young man, and there were like 10 or 11 women. 10 or 11 middle-aged to late middle-aged and to elderly women who were about to hear about how Jewish women like to give head. So it was not a good situation. And in fact, they hated it. They all hated it. And the rabbi did not, you know, Rabbi Cooper has gotten a lot of grief for sabotaging this film. I don't think that's really true. I think that what happened was that one of the studios knew that he was watching it that night, and they were considering distributing it. They called him up the next morning to get his opinion, and he said, I am told, it's a primer for anti-Semitism, and it doesn't work dramatically. There's no redemption, he said. Film critic as well as rabbi. So I don't know to what extent that judgment was the final nail in the coffin of getting this film distributed by the Classics Division, but it didn't happen. I don't know. If he had said, as for instance the ADL would later say, this is a wonderful film, it's very important, I think that might have put us over the top. If he'd said nothing, I don't know what would have happened. So I can't blame him. And after all, they asked him his opinion, he gave his opinion. He's entitled to it. And apparently one of the things he said was, I really objected to the desecration of the Torah. The truth is, here's what happened. To make that, there are very few holy objects. In fact, maybe the only really holy object in Judaism is the Torah. What we did was, we got the sticks that parchment is on are called the Eitzim. We got some Eitzim before they had been blessed, so they weren't really official religious Eitzim. We got a scholar to show us the two panels of Torah script that do not contain the name of God. And then we offset those two panels repeatedly on, you know, 12 feet of parchment-like paper. So we went to great lengths not to desecrate anything when we were making that scene. And additionally, when we were shooting that film, we would always shoot profanity when the camera was looking away from the ark, so that the doors of the ark could be closed while somebody was saying, you know, fuck or whatever they were saying. By the frumiest of standards, I'm sure we were still doing bad things, but by the standards of making a movie, we were going as far as we could to keep it clean. Nevertheless, the rabbi still objected to depicting even this event. So what can you say?
But all of us harbor these capacities that I'm talking about. It isn't as if you have to, it isn't...
It'll be waiting for you when you come back. But if you will give it up, really let it go,
that you can go to community college and get a 6-week course in.
I got newspapers and magazines who sell my lies to more and more people.
They're fundamental human attributes. These are part of what makes us human. And
then the bifurcating choices and the spontaneous self-organizing choices will attract you, will draw you. You will make the, quote, right ones, and you will find that unconscious engaging, harnessing, accessing, and awakening.
It originated with my brother, Roger, you know. He used to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, before I started racing myself, I often used to walk the course with him. The funny thing about Roger, you know, the day he was killed, he hadn't walked the circuit.
Pornography. And of those three, I thought pornography would take off the most quickly with the ability to push content daily via subscription to someone's computer. And I haven't heard much about it. I know there are a couple out there, but you know, I'm surprised how much the other homegrown shows are taking off.
Right. For you.
The madness within your empty soul. Your selfish, clearly felt world's void of feeling, just pretending to see inside a soul. Perhaps what you really feel is hold on to one sad feeling and conjure it occasionally. Conjure it occasionally to make the girls like your brown eyes. I hate them, fuck you.
Thank you.
I work in the computer field. I'm a computer programmer, and I'm listening, and I think it is somewhat idealistic in that we're working from a limited vocabulary of basic, conceptual-based jobs, but like in the example of Target, there's only so many of those jobs to go around. One person designs it, and 500 people manufacture it. Like, it would be great if everyone could be a conceptualist or whatever, but there's only so many slots, and the overall framework is of capitalism. And the mass producing, so there's less people designing. Like, in order for everyone...
Yeah, how many designers can you have? Are we going to be one designer for every brush buyer? Let us pick it up, Will. Dan Pink, how about it?
I think it's a very fair question. And as we were talking about earlier, there is a certain leap of faith required in all of this. But these are what I'm describing here is really nothing new. We've seen this movie before, and this is just the sequel. And these are the same sorts of questions.
But build a little bridge, that rickety bridge.
Dialogue a little more. You have people saying things like, they're worried about you. They think you're under too much stress.
Yeah,
come on. There's just pedestrian, clunky dialogue.
Yeah, maybe they should have brought somebody like David Mamet in to punch it. David Mamet could have punched up the screenplay.
Sam Jackson is such an eloquent actor, and here he's just kind of Tony. That's just a weakness of the series.
But of the recent Star Wars movies, I think this is the best.
Yes,
I think it's the best one since Empire Strikes Back. No, maybe the third best out of the six in the franchise.
What this one does is it goes back to the great tradition of space opera and action and science fiction and gets out of those long dialogue passages written, but also missed.
Because it's fun.
These men, knowledge, access by the control over the future, had inspired this, the cataloging, constitutes their greatest vulnerability, exposure. Their detection would ensure not just their own demise, but far reaching dissolution of social and religious order around the globe. To protect against this, the syndicate would have that disinformation using covert government programs that had been readily discovered as a kind of smokescreen. It dodged a line with the transgressions of Congress and accountable agencies served to hide their own motives and undertaking. They had even at times used the UFO phenomenon to create a hysteria that science and intelligence had denounced so completely as to make belief and believers seem ridiculous and completely discreditable. They had also, in a crisis, used a tool of the colonists themselves, alien bounty hunters who policed the cloning operations and enforced rule on the countdown to colonization. A double-edged sword whose cold-blooded tactics could help to stem a leak or threat. But who also kept watch on the...
For me, this is above all a study in contradiction, and really the human impulse to contradiction, to actions that seem set against each other, impossible to reconcile. And yet I think that there's an impulse to precisely that, to living out things which are irreconcilable.
To guard this secret was perhaps even more critical than the truth of the existence of alien life and of colonization. The syndicate's own secret vaccine was discovered. A vaccine would make themselves immune to effects of black oil. They would certainly destroy the timetable colonization set up. They would protect the secret with their lives. They would kill to protect it, as it symbolizes the only hope they had, avoiding enslavement when the planet was overtaken. that they had been able to over decades conduct their work on the vaccine and the tech was a result of a code of misinformation that put honor and the future of politics. But now this code is beginning to break down. An incipient scramble for power beginning to develop. A threat from within that no man will be able to
It's a miracle I even got out of Longwood alive. This town full of men with big mouths and no guts. I mean, if you can just picture it. The whole third floor of the hotel gutted by the blast. And the street below showered in shards of broken glass. And all the drunks pouring out of the dance hall, staring up at the smoke and the flames. And the blind pencil seller waving his stick, shouting for his dog that lay dead on the side of the road. And me, if you can believe this, at the wheel of the car, closing my eyes and actually praying, not to God above, but to you, sin.
Till the end of the world, with your eyes black as coal and your long, long dark hair.
For me, this is above all a study in contradiction and really the human impulse to contradiction.
And we plot and cook up.
There's a famous story in filmmaking, the Kuleshov experiment. He set out to prove the strength of editing things together, and he had a shot of a baby and of a coffin, of a soup bowl, and of a woman. So when he cut to the woman and then cut to the soup bowl and showed it to an audience, they perceived that the woman was hungry. And then when he would cut to the shot of the baby and cut to the woman, they perceived the woman as expressing great affection. And lastly, when they would cut to the coffin and cut to the woman, the audience perceived the woman as experiencing grief.
On my way to you, waiting in your dress of blue, I said, thank you, girl. Thank you, girl. I love you till the end of the world. With your eyes black as coal and your long, dark hair.
It was exactly the same shot of the woman with exactly the same expression on her face.
And with the horses prancing through the fields, with my knife in my jeans and the rain on the shield, I sang a song for the glory of the beauty of you, waiting for me in your dress of blue.
Thank you, girl. Thank you, girl. I love you till the end of the world. With your eyes black as coal and your long.
But it was the juxtaposition of the other material that completely changed your perception of what that expression on her face was indicating. One of the purest forms of editing, you cut between someone reacting and an object that doesn't move, and yet you read a great deal into their reaction.
I'll give you an example already. There are more Americans today who are working in art, entertainment, and design than work as lawyers, accountants, and auditors.